This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Giddy hit Austin! My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Fort Worth, Texas, from deep within the cozy confines of Trinidad World Recording Studio. Do you know you can record here at Trinidad? Full Pro Tools HD rig back there, man. Infinite tracks, Neve, Universal Audio. What else do we have back there? API, mic pre's. Trident, oh my gosh, gigantic rooms, guitars, oh, amps, everything. Come record here, whether you're a hobbyist or a pro, call me, come make the record here. Don't go anywhere else, there's no need. Well, joining us here today is my good friend, business partner in a lot of ways. You know him, you love him, full band bassist J.W. Blue Marshall. How you doing, man?
Doing well. I can't believe I have made the cut.
You've made the cut. That's right.
This is my second podcast.
Well, man, you know, last week we got such a great response from last week. People say, man, it was great having J-Dub on here and the inside perspective of somebody in the band. I hope we didn't scare too many people, give too much inside information on the whole thing. What is, I guess in this first segment, I want to get Blue's, pick Blue's brain here. He follows in a couple of other bass players, notably Doug Holm. With me for a long time, Kevin Jecker, way back in Austin. Everyone knows Ryan Lynch, Shane Hildreth out of Houston. Michael Terabay plays with Pat Green,
who is going to do a podcast, I believe.
He is. Terabay is. He was recording here at the studio.
We should get all the bass players together for a podcast.
That's what somebody said. That was your idea, the band. You mean you have a bass player podcast? Just get like all 12 guys in there. Swapping stories, you know, just dishing the dirt. On me. Oh, that'd be funny to hear. I'd love to hear that. I'd just leave the room and let y'all do the podcast.
We'll see if any of the other bass players have ever been kicked.
That's
by
right.
Phil Pritchett.
Oh,
or referenced
on.
To being kicked on HBO, HD.
Now,
what was that
yes,
show?
Oh, we were on
True
the
Music.
Mark Cuban.
True Music.
And I did. J-Dub, I did an interview for... at the Granada Theater before
the
our show.
Theater, yeah.
What was that? The HD? It's called
HDNet.
HDNet.
Yeah.
HDNet, the channel.
True Music.
True Music. Mark
Rachel
Cuban, that
something.
Girl.
Yeah.
Rachel, whatever her name is. And so they ask, they say, I go, man, they say, how is it being on stage? And I start talking. I'm like, man, it's great. You know, I'll look back at Stu or, you know, I'll go over there and just kick the bass player and keep it all rocking. And I just kind of went on with the conversation, and Blue just goes, man, I can't believe you just referred to me as just the bass player. I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, you said, I look at Stu sometimes, or I just look over at the bass player.
There's only two of us in the full band, as you all know.
Jeez.
Out there. And just Blue.
Oh.
I think that was before I was Blue, maybe.
That was
maybe
before
I hadn't
Blue.
Arrived.
That's right. Now you've arrived to a certain extent. Well, you know, in my own, that's inexcusable. Inexcusable. But in my own somewhat small defense, the drummer, I've been lucky, man. Stolle never really missed a gig. Jason Stolle for 3 or 4 years, and Stu's never missed a gig. So the guy that sometimes shuffles that, the bass player, it is a optimal term sometimes, because sometimes we had Colin Keaton, our good friend, has played bass a couple of times. You missed that flight to Houston that time. I had to get Josh Owen from the opening band to play bass.
Guitar player and then bass player.
And then bass player.
One night only.
Well, you are deserving of so much more than that, Blue. My apologies to kick you under the bus on live TV. What are some of your other impressions? This first segment, I want to get some of your other. We talked about how you started playing bass, your background in music, etc. Last week, What are some of your impressions of this band? How does it differ from some of your other experiences with the Dave Matthews guy and McCoskey, you know, playing?
Right.
What's kind of your take on the whole thing? How do you see it fitting into your life moving forward? Or do you?
Or do I? Oh.
I'm always ready for J-Dub just to go, man, I'm tired of driving around in a van with all you sweaty guys. Enough. J-Dub is a smart guy. Always got a lot of lot going on. Business propositions, ideas, women.
If the day ever does come, I'll set you up with a nice severance package.
I hope so.
I'll pay you for
after
I leave.
That's a hell of a deal.
Help you, you know, get a new bass player.
I'll pay you for the next gigs. 5 gigs for you to get somebody else rolling.
For missing the gigs. That'll be great.
Severance pages? Yes, I have to pay Phil to leave.
See, yes.
I like that. Hey, I like that model.
I should not have volunteered that. It's been great. It's, you know, playing with Jordan, I'd only heard of you a few times.
Yeah.
I apologize. But everything I heard was great. We opened a few gigs.
Good. Yeah,
I love the show. And that was really one thing that really drew me into the band was the live show.
Yeah, yeah.
If there's anyone out there in podcast land that's not seen any new listeners, the guy just in Sydney, Australia that just hasn't been able to make a show.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
he's a big fan. Yeah. He loves the albums.
Yeah.
But he's not been able to make a show.
Yeah.
Come see the show.
You got to come see the show.
That really is what sold me on the whole deal.
Well, great.
I loved Ryan and Jason.
Knew their work well.
I knew their work well, and I tried to fill their shoes. I early on didn't try to put my own spin on anything. Just tried to just hold up what they'd built. And, you know, and Phil is a fearless leader. You never know where he's going to go. Every show is different. It was
unrehearsed.
A little like that. It was a little like that with McCoskey as well, but maybe not as much directed chaos.
Direction,
just chaos with Jordan sometimes.
That's right.
Where you didn't know he was going. But great training to play with the great Phil Pritchett.
That's right.
Is just every song, every night is a little different. And
that's
you just kind of follow his lead. And Stu and I have been lucky enough to play together with Jordan. And I played with Kurt a few times. So we were pretty close.
Well prepared.
Knew
for
each
it.
Other, well prepared. Well, we were pretty tight.
We kind of came out of the same deal. You know, the elephant and playing a lot of the same places and with the same people, the same songs and things like that. I think it did. I think there was a sense that you guys kind of knew the gig. Even though you didn't maybe know me as well or the songs. Because that first gig, we were talking about the day in the band, in Nacogdoches.
The Bonita Creek.
Oh, I mean, me and Stolly
disaster.
Were there, and Blue shows up. He's got all his pedals and everything, and we had not rehearsed. I mean,
not once.
We still
haven't rehearsed.
But those 3 years are starting to add up.
That's right.
We're starting to play Mexican restaurant a little bit better. That's right. So, yeah, so J-Dub came in, and, man, I confess to say we'd met a couple times, and... I don't know if I could have picked you out of a lineup of 10 guys that very first gig.
Probably couldn't have picked you out either.
And we didn't know how permanent it would be. McCoskey said, man, call J-Dub. He's good at following and just staying up with the deal. And so I was like, man, as long as Stolly knows the songs, he'll sing the harmonies, I'll play the guitar, and we can pull off the gig. I tell bands all the time that just bitch incessantly about, I've got to get this new guitar player, bass player, something like that. I go, look, you're not looking for guys who can really play great. If you find those guys great... you want guys who you like, guys who want to be there and want to learn. I said, and you give them a little time, everyone's going to learn the songs. Show up on time. And I said, that's what you're really looking for.
Dependable, likable.
And you can't be a three-legged table where if someone, you know, can't make a show or something, that the whole thing doesn't happen. You cancel all the gigs. So this was a situation where, it was a last-minute deal. Lynch couldn't make it or something. So I started calling this man, J-Dub, he'll follow. Send him some CDs, let him listen to...
So Pritchett mails me 3 CDs.
Uh-huh.
Mails me
Tougher. Of my 10.
Right. Tougher.
Cool and Unusual.
Cool and Unusual.
That's right.
And maybe High Tide had just come out.
Right.
Maybe.
Okay.
And so I played along to them, and, you know, and I was familiar with them. About half of them.
A couple cheat sheets on the floor, maybe on the stage.
Yeah, about half of them were pretty easy to pick up on. And then, you know, we just go into just Maria, Mex, Luke. Just there's some changes there.
Oh,
there's some different.
But see, on stage, I can't indicate that there might be trouble. I can't be looking over you with a worried look.
Right.
So I always tell. I just said, man, I've got to get up there and plow through it.
Right.
And if you're just playing in the wrong key, I'm gonna drop to my knees and point to you like, hell yeah, he's not even playing the same key. This is all on purpose. Yeah, you gotta.
Right.
I mean, it's
embrace
you,
the chaos.
The show must go on
That's
a little
right.
bit.
And it barely did.
You can't get discouraged and just stop playing or something. So
that first weekend, 4th of July.
We had several gigs.
We had 4 gigs in a row.
Oh.
So they picked me up. And after the first gig, we're in Nacogdoches.
Where else did we go with the Nacogdoches?
And they're like, man, we're stuck with this guy for 4 gigs.
Yeah.
And so then I think we come back, and I remember after the show, we were just back in the hotel. Pritchett's just playing his acoustic.
Yeah.
I've got my bass out, just tabbing things.
Yeah. Just do it.
Feverishly.
Just Jeff and saying, dancing, Jay. Oh, come on. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So we did some. That was our only real short practice.
Yeah.
We played Woody's the next night back in Fort Worth.
Yeah, right.
And that's when I just thought for sure I just was not going to be asked to the next shows. They were going to play with no bass player.
So you didn't know how desperate we were.
Exactly.
You didn't know how desperate we were to keep you on there.
It was Houston, then the next night, and then ending in Corpus.
Right, okay, yeah.
And so
I remember that Corpus gig being very good.
And each one got twice as good. And by the time we got to Corpus, it was a pretty good show.
I remember it was some good weather, and it was warm. It was summer.
Good
the
crowd.
Surf club was really, there were a lot of people there.
People thought I was Ryan Lynch.
They thought you were that's all right.
I didn't mess up too bad. And then at the end of the night, or the end of the next day, we get back to Dallas-Fort Worth, and Pritchett just... So next week, Friday, we're going to meet in Ennis.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah, just never looked back.
The rest was history.
Hey, man, if you show up on time, you can play the songs. You're in.
You're in.
You're the next guy.
So future bass players of the world out there.
Hey, man, when you get a call,
be ready.
Be ready to go. There's no tryout involved. You show up on time, you play good. You're fun to be around. No bitching about your monitor mixes. Just play the songs. Enjoy yourself. You know?
And
that's
then
about all you need to do.
And then about 10 shows later with the great Jason Stolle on drums.
Yeah.
We then transitioned into Stuart Wiley. Oof,
that's the topic of our next segment. Hello. Well, he's not here. Let's just talk about him. Let's just talk about him.
And the beard, of course.
You stay around for a little while?
We'll do one more.
We're going to talk about the current incarnation of the full band. Who knows? Will it all end next month? Or will it just go for eternity? That's what I always... Who knows?
No one knows.
Either one. Of course, eternity's preferable. I don't have to teach somebody else the songs. Of course, we got a great thing rolling now, man. You mean Stu. Blue, Stu, and P2. We'll talk about how the full band came together. Stuart Wiley enters the picture in our next segment when we come back.
Yeah, Jenny looked her best friends right into the eye. Said, don't try to tell me that you think it's all a lie, because some of you know what I mean. Some of you know what I mean.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Go to philpritchett.com. You can buy the Fans, Romans, Countrymen t-shirt. Oh, I got a great email from Izzy and Wade Richardson.
We love Izzy and Wade.
Izzy and Wade played their wedding, right?
Right.
Hell yeah. They were in Steamboat at the big show. Of course, we're never invited. So,
I was there.
You were there.
Not this year.
Well, that was a couple
years
ago. Well, they emailed me this year because Wade was wearing his Fans, Romans, Countrymen t-shirt.
Of course.
He just kind of said, man, covert. Only a real fan would even know what this is. And he gets into the elevator, and he's immediately stopped and thrown up against the wall by someone going, where'd you get that shirt? Pete Coatney.
Of course.
Indeed.
The great Pete Coatney.
Jack Ingram's drummer. Frequent contributor to the podcast. So, old Wade just got mercilessly beaten down by an excited Pete Coatney. Of course, Coatney's the greatest gentleman in Texas music.
Of course.
I was thrilled. They were thrilled to meet him and everything. So, you know, I wouldn't even gotten to talk to Pete, man, if I wasn't wearing the Phil Pritchett in the full band Fans, Romans, Countrymen tee. So, hey, all you listeners out there, put on a Phil Pritchett shirt, Fans, Romans, Countrymen. Walk into a restaurant. Walk into a show. Just see who looks across the room. If you're walking around your Dave Matthews shirt, who gives a crap? You know, we all know Dave's great, right? But doesn't everybody have Dave? It's ubiquitous, man.
That's right.
You put on your Pritchett shirt, you will quickly filter a room pretty quickly. Someone come up, hey, man, where'd you get that shirt? The one guy, you know? That one enlightened soul who listens to the podcast is out there. You'll find him with the shirt. Put it on, watch the magic happen. Am I right, Blue?
You're right. And Izzy and Wade grabbed me the year before, and Steve.
Oh, that's
so
right. You were up
full
there,
circle now.
Full circle. That's right. They ran into you out there.
And of course, their first question was, "Is Phil here?"
Yeah.
So
he wasn't invited. No.
So I'm hanging out with, you know, the likes of Medeiros from drummer, great drummer for Gregor. And those
how does
guys.
That deal work? I get embarrassed every year with the ski trip.
It's great. I
know, but
I
we're never invited. Does nobody know who we are? I'm reading this list, laundry list of bands that open for us who are up there playing. Are they playing for free? What's the story, Blue?
I didn't get that. I just know it's a big party.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And a lot of folks stop me, Blue Marshall,
yeah,
asking where is Phil Pritchett. So if you're out there, Music Fest production...
Listeners. Yeah, email it, fans.
Email Phil.
Angrily email if you want to see us next year, email the whoever it is. I think it's John Dixon Promotions.
Right, Dixon Promotions.
Does a great show. What a great guy, John Dixon.
Great show, great event.
We've played a lot of his events. Now, he's more plugged into the like New Braunfels down there, does his events. We've played with Kreger and Randy Rogers, lots of guys. I don't know. You know, of course, he just gets his ass whipped by bands trying to get into Steamboat play every year, I guess.
But the fans have spoken.
So I don't know. The fans have spoken. So, hey, you know, and don't direct your anger or your disgust at me. Email Dixon. Say, hey, next year, no Phil Pritchett. We're not coming.
That's right.
So throw us in there, man. People don't understand. They harness all the power
that's
in their own hands. You email somebody, get in front of that computer, things start to happen. So, so Izzy and Wade tracked you down at Steamboat.
They did.
That's
also,
awesome.
Side note, I have about 10 of their cups from their wedding.
That's right.
That they gave away.
With our name
Izzy
on
Wade,
it.
With our name on
very
one
honored.
Side, Izzy and Wade on the other.
You can make
it's
your
delighted
own.
Many guests at Blue Marshall's household.
A lot of bands would never permit that. They
That's
would not
right.
permit their name on some other item. Of course, we just don't care. Put it out there.
Put it wherever you want.
You
want
to make your own Phil Pritchett merchandise at your party or something? As long as we're playing the party or something.
Right.
I don't know. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. The podcast here. Well, Blue, you came on board playing a few gigs with Stolly.
Right.
Stolly tells me in the same breath, I think it was. I apologize, Stolly. He's been on the podcast. What a great guy. What a contributor. What a great drummer. I think it was, we knew his wife was there expecting joyfully their second child. He said, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do these things all the time like I've been doing. I kind of somewhat expected it. Still sad when it all comes down. So we immediately, the feelers go out, the radar, the tremors start to shake from Phil Pritchett and the full band world. I've already lassoed Blue into this deal. And really, there wasn't really anyone else I was looking at except for one Stuart Wiley. Stu. Big Stu.
Stu.
Strong as an ox.
And Stu has also evolved in the full band.
Yes.
At that point, Stuart had no beard.
Yeah.
He had wife and child.
Yes.
I mean, he was just a young single guy playing
young single
with
guy.
Kurt South, the great Kurt South.
The great Kurt South. He's
off and on for many years.
Poor Kurt. I stole Kurt's drummer, and I stole Jordan's bass player. They're still upset about it a little bit. And I don't feel good about it. It's just the law of physics. You know, Jack Ingram stolen Jordan Powell, my road manager. You know, that's the way it works. And it thrills me to see someone work their way up the chain. I don't know, you know. I mean, Blue, if you got a call tomorrow from Robert Earl Keen, hey, man, Blue be the bass player, I'd say, hey, man, good, that's awesome.
Right.
Congratulations. It sucked for me, but
I'd
be happy.
I turned him down, but.
Have you really? Yeah. I'm not
There's
going
been a
anywhere.
Few calls. Anyways.
So Stu Wiley. Stu Wiley. Huh?
He comes in, and then Pritchett says, what's the story on Stuart Wiley?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, he's
so
a
you
great
knew
guy.
So you knew him better.
I'd known him 3 or 4 years at that point, off and on.
He'd come in and recorded that record with Kurt that I did with him.
Right.
So we'd met, and, you know, and he knew us, and, you know.
And Stu knew the stuff.
Yeah.
Much better than I did.
Yeah.
Stu and
a little
Stu,
more of a fan of Phil Pritchett than
And he
you.
Was a little more of a seasoned veteran as well. He'd played in about 40 or 50
Man,
other bands.
He was a guy that could, he could just pick
Nick
up a
and
show.
Drayson,
and
I mean, just...
Yeah.
Drummers much easier to pick up and play a show than bass
well, yeah,
players.
You can
by
just
the way,
play a straight four, do a train beat, and the rest of everybody else plays. You just kind of hold it down and watch for the ending.
Watch
yeah.
for the ending, exactly. But and Stu did that better than any.
Yeah, no
could
question.
Could play a train beat. Could play some straight beats.
Absolutely.
And but now he's just evolved into this phenomenal drummer, phenomenal studio musician. He's
now
been on
he's
many
singing.
Albums.
He's singing his own songs.
He's got his own songs. He may come out with his own album this year.
I don't
Look
know.
Out.
I don't know if you podcast listeners were at the Cypress Saloon show recently. What was that, January 16th?
Right, back on
Saturday,
the 16th.
On the 16th. We did, as we often do. I only do this when we got a really benevolent room.
And the crowd.
And
is
I mean just... not. I mean not to insult anyone if we don't do it all the time. But man, we had a great group of people at the Cypress Saloon up near the stage. Not a lot of rowdiness and drunkenness. Just a lot of listening, a lot of requests, a lot of banter between the crowd. So it was a nice warm feeling, you know. So I said, so we let Stu sing the Elton John song, Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters. And man,
his favorite,
sometimes he gets a little loose back there. He's smoking. He's maybe even drinking a little bit. You don't know what you're going to get sometimes. Always good.
Always good.
Heartwarming. But I'm going to tell you what, man. Am I right? The last January 16th, what was he doing? It was so well done.
He was in the zone.
I was playing, the sound on stage was great. Maybe he could hear himself really well. Yeah. Our friend Mike Troutman runs sound there. Always does a great job. And Stu, I start the song. He goes, hold on, man. Let me light a cigarette. He lights a cigarette and closes his eyes. And he sang it so well. I was like, man, that's the best you've ever done.
Of course, the Rose Hill guys were there.
Yeah, that's right. Blake and
Big
Mitch,
day for them.
Formerly Texas High Life, Rose Hill, got on stage and jammed with us. Yeah, Stuart Wiley. Now, the funny thing about Stu, and please, I do not mean to embarrass Stu. We have a little fun at his expense sometimes, as we do all of each other in the full band. And I think Stu would be the first to tell you he came from he was a Fort Worth guy, hadn't been a lot of places, played, man, just was a master of baseball, of rock and roll, living in Fort Worth. So he joins the full band and was immediately given the opportunity to a lot of firsts
in his
life.
A number of firsts
in his life that would surprise a lot of people. Seeing such a intelligent and a worldly guy as Stu, a guy who's traveled around, can play many instruments, sing. However, when he came into the band, a lot of firsts. What are some that stand out to you, Blue?
First time on an airplane.
First time on an airplane.
Was that when
we were going to Effingham?
I think
or
the
Chicago?
First one might have been Chicago.
Okay. We flew up to play the Great Joes in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah, I think that was the first time Stu had ever been on an airplane.
And he fell in love with it.
He
wasn't nervous.
He did.
He was a little nervous at first, but then he got on the plane. He's like, dude, that was awesome.
Doesn't take as long.
We just 15-hour drive or a 2-hour flight. This thing is great.
Stu,
then he realized how much it cost.
Yeah,
and
it
he
kind of
eased up on it. But yeah, we flew to Nashville. We flew to Chicago
several times.
Flew to St. Louis many times.
Many times.
He even made the flight with me, I think, to Lubbock and Amarillo a few times.
Next thing you know, he's just booking his own flights.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
just flying first class with Blue.
I know, man.
For a small stint.
Living large. Another first. What would be another first? Now, on the ranch, first time he'd ever fired a gun.
That's right. First time in Effingham.
Might surprise Stu, a burly-looking lumberjack. You might think he's out there just pulling off hip shots of geese. Not a hunter. Never been hunting. So, he puts down his Coors Light out there on the... J.W. Marshall family property.
Kind of had a ravine behind the property.
Beer can on the fence.
All safe.
Give him a shotgun and just let the guy shoot.
Again.
Let the guy shoot. Again, a first.
A first. And again, just fell in love with it.
Fell in
and
love.
And then quickly
shooting.
Lost interest.
Well, but,
just right. Stuart Wiley, one of indulgences.
One of the indulgences.
He's never done something. Drinking coffee. He never really drank coffee.
Had never drank coffee. I'm like... He goes, man, I really hate it. I'm like, dude. I said, okay. I said, have you ever tried it? Nah, I have no interest. And dude, sure enough, he starts slow as everybody does with a little cream and a lot of sugar and some whipped cream.
And a latte.
I'm like,
or
man,
something.
Eventually you'll get through all that crap just to the source.
Right.
To the source. And now he loves himself
just
a nice
black,
big bold rich cup of coffee.
Just
never drank coffee. Never fired a gun.
That one stuck with him.
See, I take a little sense of I don't know accomplishment. It's nice to see somebody get to do experience some things maybe they wouldn't have otherwise. You know, I don't know.
Stuart Wiley never really listened to vinyl records.
Boy, didn't know much about classic rock.
Yeah.
Stu was a
90s guy.
Knew Stone Temple Pilots, Smashing Pumpkins.
Pearl Jam.
Well, that was his wheelhouse when he was in high school.
Absolutely.
And that was the stuff he knew. In fact, I called out both of you guys as not really classic rock in your younger, coming out of that era.
I said a little bit more with the Marshall Family.
A little
Billy
more.
Joel,
but man,
bit,
I was astounded when I said, name a Rolling Stones record. And they said, I kind of got the greatest hits. I go, no, name... And y'all couldn't name an album? They got real quiet. And I go, you got to be kidding me. So I was just...
40 Licks Doesn't Count, just the greatest hits.
Come
on.
And then I go, man, can you name one member of Led Zeppelin or something? And they kind of looked at each other like, man, I don't know. Is it Jimmy Plant or something? So I rattle them all off. And then I just start piling on. I'm like, you can't name the Beatles. Name all the Beatles albums in succession. And they were, by this time, cowering on the floor. I didn't want to embarrass them. Maybe I did initially.
And we like to play Stump the Band
A lot of trivia, a lot of stuff.
On Sirius Satellite Radio.
Next thing I know, Stu goes, I go, the best thing to do is maybe, I said, man, you know, you can buy these albums for $1, $3 at
Half Price Books.
I go, man, he's like, well, how do you know all this stuff? I go, man, I just had the albums, you know, so I'd read who played drums. Well, I don't know. I've just accumulated all this, you know, worthless musical knowledge over the years. And the next thing I know, man, Stu becomes the most rabid, ravenous, and insatiable appetite for vinyl. He just goes out night and day, spends all of his hard-earned money on records.
And he has quite a collection?
Quite a collection, and unbelievable. A bigger collection than I have, I think.
Yeah.
Everything. And now he knows everything. He knows more than I do.
I think he's up there.
You know? I'll kind of go, when was Zeppelin's record that on? I'll just go, come on, man, Tangerine? That's Zeppelin 3, man. He's just like, he knows it
he's
all.
He's got the years.
He knows
he's
it all. He knows everything. It's been an amazing thing to see. In 3 years, man, he's become an authority. An authority
no
on rock.
Question.
Drinking coffee, flying on airplanes, shooting a shotgun. I'm like, Stuart Wiley. He's been groomed.
He'll be the first to go. Somebody's going to pick him up.
Oh, yeah, you think so?
Ingram or somebody.
Ingram is going to replace Cody.
Cody retires.
Oh, man.
Who do you want?
No question, I
want Stuart Wiley.
Say it ain't so.
He knows
Stu, man, never late to a gig.
Dependable.
As loyal as any dog. Not comparing him to a dog, but just a loyal, dependable.
Great front man. Just can talk to anyone.
Oh.
Just.
Representative for the band.
Fans.
And then about.
Sound guys.
About,
just love him. Everyone loves him.
Was it the second year he really started growing the beard?
Year two, he started growing the beard.
And Griffin.
He'd never grown a beard.
Had never grown
he
a beard.
He starts growing it and he just can't stop. He just loved it.
He just went through like a renaissance.
He did.
I mean, he went from just an old baseball player, kind of washed up, you know, working the door at some bar, listening to Stone Temple Pilots, to just a bearded, cultured world traveler. A connoisseur of music, coffee, airfare.
Fine meats.
Guys, wasn't there something else?
Ah, there were so many. I think we're missing quite a few.
He still tells me he's never eaten sushi.
We'll get him on that.
He'll never touch it. And I'm just like, dude,
we'll just wait.
You wait. I could see Stu just going in somewhere and ordering 50 pieces of sushi with extra wasabi.
Yeah.
Until he's just
killing it.
Intoxicated on sushi. And goes, I go eat it every day now. Every single day.
Chugging sake.
He's one of those guys that when he gets onto something, he's on it.
He's on it.
For a while. Yeah, for sure.
He thoroughly checks it out.
Well, that is...
So we'll have to have him on.
We'll have to have him on sometimes.
I think he's on the schedule.
I feel terrible. I feel that you've been on a couple times. You happened to be here that time Richard was recording. And we didn't have Stu. We had a whole show with Stu. A week with Stu Wiley.
No question.
Dude, the stories he can tell. So knowledgeable on all things music. Coffee, baseball, a lot of great topics.
A lot of good sports talks.
Oh, man.
Diehard Rangers fan.
Diehard Rangers. Long-suffering.
We'll meet a bigger Rangers
long-suffering fan. Ranger fan, Stu Wiley. Well, that's just a little background on who the full band is. Blue is here. We're talking about our beloved Stu Wiley here. And as they all came together to form, man, this incarnation of the full band, which has been together with me longer than any other guys. Well, it'd be 4 years
Nearing
with you
four
guys.
Years in July.
In July, installing Lynch, I think we're about 3 years, maybe three and a half or so. But extraordinary times in the full band, and we've just had a great time doing it. Well, in the vault, let's just take a look at some of the stuff on the new record, Mark of the Human Hand. Do one of our own albums that Blue contributed to. Get some feedback on that. I want to hear what Blue's friends and family say about the songs. You know, I know they've listened to it and all that kind of stuff. Some of his thoughts moving forward on our new album, man. Our new studio album, anyway. Mark of the Human Hand in the Vault when we come back.
Hey, everybody out there. Thanks for joining us. This is Blue Marshall, and welcome to the P2 Podcast.
Mona Lisa, move closer. I'm scared tonight. I watched the news this evening and there's much to fear. They say a mighty storm is brewing up. The outlying areas burning up. They'll let let us no more when they hear somewhere a song is playing with lyrics that all of them don't understand. And I found I knew the words, yeah. I started looking around, I started thinking about the things I found. I started looking around, I started looking around. Mona Lisa, move closer, I'm here alright. They closed the bridges over the river today. I know the traffic headed out is moving slow, but I really got nowhere else to go. I'm content to be right here and stay. Somewhere a poet was writing a verse that no one seems to want to read.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from Trinidad World Recording Studios here in Fort Worth, Texas. Come record here. What are you, a hobbyist? Are you a professional musician? Probably one or the other, if you're listening to this show. Man, you're right in the wheelhouse. It doesn't matter. We do all kinds of recording here. Full-scale, gigantic Pro Tools HD rig here. Call me, 817-733-5256. Set up some time. I'll even be in there helping you do it. If you don't mind me banging on some guitars, twisting knobs, you know, Blue.
Singing some backup.
Singing some backup, a little tambourine, a little piano or something. Man, I'm always in there helping out. Love it. We love mixing it up here
Stu
in the studio.
Blue, love to be there as well.
Or book
if
the,
nothing, just for support.
Yeah, just to support.
Or to play.
Well, when some songwriter says, man, I don't really have a band, I'm like, we got a band. Well, it's Blue on bass, Stu on drums. We've backed up many, many projects here.
We've done it before, and we'll do it again.
A lot of Phil Pritchett-produced projects. It's just basically Phil Pritchett and the full band and some guy playing the songs.
Exactly.
We just try to support it any way we can.
Help
always
him come
a challenge.
To life. Help him come to life.
Always enjoy it. Always a challenge. So call us or email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Or book the full band. We'll come play in your house. In
your barn.
Your barn, your garage, whatever. We do it all the time. And
you're opening a bar. We'd love to come play.
Speaking of Phil Pritchett, the full band, Blue, in this room here, the Pritchett room
very
here,
room.
Trinidad World Recording, Mark of the Human Hand, the most recent studio installment from Phil Pritchett and the full band. Man, some of the songs have really started to come to life. It takes, what did I say about making records? It takes about a year for the crowd to latch on to it.
Right.
And it hasn't nearly been that long with this album.
This is really taking off.
But we've already got four or five that are pretty solid in the set, which is rare. Because, man, we did High Tide with the band. I remember a year later, man, Doorman, High Tide in the Heartland released. It still felt like people were still wanting to hear Anarchy
Rocks.
USA and stuff. But we kept playing those High Tide songs live, you know, and they're a big part of the show, and it wasn't until about a year later people really requested them, and it was, you know what I'm saying?
Typically, once we put the next album out,
they want
the previous album is just huge. When we started
in
the band, High Tide had just come out not too far before that, and
I remember
everybody
you guys
wanted the old stuff. They didn't want to hear High Tide.
That's right.
When we put the Bullfighter out, just High Tide was just at its peak.
At that, when the new record comes out, it immediately makes your old album a classic,
exactly.
Catalog item of
people
some
have had
sort.
Time to just really dig
That's
into
right.
it and enjoy it.
That's right.
So it's great to see the Bullfighter now taking off with Mark of the Human Hand coming out.
That's right. Mark of the Bullfighter now just elevated. You know, we play the Bullfighter Returns song. We play, Girl of All Seasons, All I Want to Do, Find My Own Way. People are like, oh, man, hell yeah. But, you know, for a year, they were
kind of new, kind of unknown.
Kind of new, kind of unknown. That's just the way it goes. But I feel like recently, man, Mona Lisa, Move Closer, The Great John
Great
West.
Great John West.
That's become a big live number.
Yep. Get to You.
In thrilling fashion.
It's been a great one.
Get to You, Road Ahead, Miles Behind, we always do.
Yep. Everybody's trying.
Everybody's trying.
And, a song to end the recession.
Yeah. So what's your song to end the recession? It's working hard for you out there. What's your impressions of this record?
Well, I'll tell you, my favorite song is
yeah.
Is None of Those.
Really?
Above mentioned. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of No One Loves You Like Your Mother Does.
Yeah.
Big
well,
fan.
A little interesting. A
little ditty, kind of 50 Ways to Lose Your Lover kind of
very
feel
much
to
so.
It.
Very much so, yes.
You know, one for the mothers. Kind of
that's
like
right.
John Mayer's Daughters kind of became a big hit. It wasn't really what he did, but it was a big hit.
We did
I think
a,
this may catch on.
Yeah, we did.
I'm here to promote it.
The new, I appreciate that. On the new, our you can get our new live album, Alive and Alone. It was an
right.
acoustic show at the Cypress Saloon recently. 24 songs on there for just $4. P2 Tunes exclusive. So go there right now and just download it. It's sitting there for you.
I haven't bought it yet, but I've heard
have
it's
you not?
Great. No.
Well, we have. But there is an acoustic version of No One Loves You Like Your Mother Does.
Well then I'm
which
in.
Which I've never played live. It's the first time I've ever played it live.
You've
so it's on there.
$4.
I got some feedback from people. A couple of people said, man, in the acoustic version of Everybody's Trying, I did it real slow. So, you know, some different stuff there, but using some of the newer songs, which is fun. Man, what do we do with Soup's Up, man? What do we do with that?
I think we just need kind of like a polyphonic spree kind of thing. Just, you know, just a whole
yeah.
bunch of musicians and singers.
This,
and just,
of course, is the...
It's bigger than the band.
The
I don't
second,
know.
The second
I don't know
song,
if we can do it justice.
I know.
It's a great song.
The second song on the album is a little whacked out. But, man, that was the one in pre-production that everyone was like,
just
dude.
Just we all liked.
Hell, yeah. It had the flange piano intro and just the... You know, that big
kind of YouTube
drum
or
loop.
Something, just
yeah,
kind of
and
big.
Stu played with it. Soup's Up in the Underground. And just a rocking tune.
Just kind of tough to pull off live.
It was tough to pull off
in the right
live,
venue
maybe.
With the right crowd.
Yeah. We've done it a few times.
It's been pretty
we need
good.
It. That's one of those you got to give it a chance, though, man.
Right.
Big time.
Right.
I don't know.
We've had some requests for it. I think once the next album comes out, Soup's Up will be huge.
That'll be huge.
Everyone will want to hear it, just chanting her.
Yeah,
I see that as a future,
come on.
A future
yeah, yeah.
encore song.
Well, there is a certain legitimacy to playing stuff live. If you and I've experienced this. I mean, I've got so many songs we can't possibly play even close to you know a fourth of them on any given night. You do have those songs back there that you know. Yeah, man, it is a good song and it is cool and. But, you know, it's kind of sad when you see them just kind of leave the set because they're hard to bring back.
Right.
I know Suburban Legends is full of songs like that. You know, I think on Bullfighter, you know, something like, you know, Thieves in the Market. And,
right.
Oh, what are some other ones on there?
Find That Girl.
I'm going to Find
Doesn't
That Girl.
Doesn't make it too often, but it's a great tune.
But they really don't make it into the show and... You just kind of see them slipping away
but
a little bit.
But they always
that,
resurface
know?
Years
yeah,
later.
Yeah, I guess they do.
We just started bringing back No Laughing Matter.
Yeah, from
Tougher
Than
the Rest.
At the behest of the band.
Just
I can't believe y'all wanted to do that one. That's just so funny.
We take Stu's requests. Like, we take requests from the audience,
of course.
They all
speak. They all sing. I was like, man, we haven't done that in years.
Phil also takes requests from the full band.
Absolutely. From the full band, exactly. I love it when, and I've been posting this on my Facebook site for a while, just, hey, man, show tonight. Shoot me some requests, and I'll get a couple posts. Hey, man, play this or play that. Now, a lot of them is just like play Sheetrock or play Maria. I'm like, I don't know, I'm just going to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm really digging for like an obscure
just
one.
Give us the deep cuts.
Yeah, Alice is Feeling Ill or
Marry Me, Mary.
Shelley or something yeah. something way back there. I can just go, ooh, wow.
Just play The Visitor.
That's right.
Just go deep.
That's going way
Life
deep.
Life of Paul. Come on.
So what else on Mark of the Human Hand do you hits you now? What about your folks? Do you get any feedback from our Illinois contingent up there?
Of
Richard
course.
And his friends or anything? Anything
of
seem
course.
To surface?
I think their two big ones are Everybody's Trying. I think
yeah,
they
is
really
that, is that
like
kind
it's
of
just a rocker,
yeah.
you know. And I think they really like Mona Lisa.
Uh-huh.
Move Closer. I think
the,
those two
intro track.
It's a great intro, great tune.
I don't know what we did on those two songs. We recorded them the same day, actually, Mona Lisa's. Mona Lisa, Move Closer. The opening track. To me, the drums sound amazing.
It's like it's not even us.
It's better
than we are. It's
but
great.
The way I just man, it's just one of those
just
weird things
together.
About recording. We kind of had the mic set up, and we had recorded that just kind of as practice.
Right.
But Stu played it.
He laid it down.
Laid it down. The arrangement was perfect. Now my guitar's kind of out of tune. You missed some bass notes. We kind of did that. But
right.
I went back and fixed a couple bass notes or something.
Mm-hmm.
And the drum man, I could not get. On some of the other songs and some of these other projects,
the same.
Really with other bands, there's a fatness and a thickness in the kit and the snare drum and something mm-hmm. that was missing on some of the other projects of other guys. I mean, it still sounded great, but there was an element there, and I couldn't figure out what I did. I was like, man, was I running it through that tube limiter the same way? Was it in the overheads? Did I have the mid-range scooped out in the overheads? I was kind of going back trying to figure out what I did. I never did.
And I think that happens in the studio a lot. Not this studio, but all studios.
It does.
And it's not. It's just every once in a while you catch it.
And the difference is no one would really notice it.
Yeah,
but I do, just sitting there watching the levels and listening. There's a little just soft distortion coming off the snare that I just go, man, I had it plugged into that preamp a certain way. And I had the EQ dialed up a certain way that just, I don't know.
Just caught it just right.
Yeah, I just made my spine tingle as I was mixing it, and then the other ones, I go, God, it doesn't sound like that. Oh, well. But
just caught the wave and wrote it.
That's right. That's right.
That's all you can do.
Well, that was one of my... I like that. What do you think of that? Anybody ever mentioned the Elliott Smith-inspired History Is Never Made in a Straight Line? And that was a late addition.
It was, yeah.
Very late.
Stu and I, the first time we heard that was, of course, when the album was done and produced. And we're like, what's this ninth track that we know nothing about?
Well, I was digging around. You know, we had about... now, Bullfighter only had eight songs on it, right? Is that right?
Eight songs, eight tracks.
Eight songs of the Bullfighter. And we had eight here.
We did.
But I had this history...
It was a good number.
But, man, I had the idea for that History Is Never Made in a Straight Line. I thought it was a cool line. And I played it on the 12-string that was given to me in Barter by Bacon Fat, your brother's band. They paid gear. Yeah, they wanted to make a record, and I said, they said, well, we maybe don't have the actual cash to the system. And of course, you guys got a basement full of guitars, all kinds of great stuff.
Right.
So they bring me, amongst other things, a Alvarez 12-string guitar, which I instantly loved, and so I doubled that 12-string guitar. It's really two performances. There's one guitar all the way on the left,
mm-hmm.
and then me playing the same song again all the way to the right. I sang it one time, put it all the way to the left. Sang it again, put it all the way to the right.
So you didn't really make the song in a straight line either.
No, that's right. Very ironic. But that was kind of an interesting one. So I of course, that's the freshest one on there. That's one that I kind of listened to.
But it is very Elliott Smith, Beatles kind of...
I did a demo of it, I thought, that was... I didn't have the lyrics yet, but it's kind of like the drums. The vocal was better. It was a little airier, and I felt like on the album it was a little... edgy or something that I don't like. It's weird. Recording's weird because I know how I sound and the band and other people, and sometimes you do a demo of a song and you just love the way. Now the song on there, Tell Me What I'm Doing Wrong, that is a demo.
Right.
That was me playing into one mic with an acoustic and singing, and I redid it. You know, I did the guitar first, then went back and sang it, and I said, dude, it just doesn't have it.
Right.
I had like a cold when I sang that song, but there's just a gravelly heaviness to my vocal that I couldn't get on another track. My pitch kind of wavers in the chorus. I'm still kind of searching for the melody a little bit, but...
It just adds to the character of the song.
I have a coughing fit at the beginning of it. That I did edit out. I was kind of on one of these.
only on the podcast do you get behind the scenes.
Well,
I left
it in there, and my wife kind of goes, "Am I going to leave you coughing at the beginning?" I was like, "No, of course not." I don't know. So it wasn't really. So I kind of faded it up a little bit, and there it is. So anyway, that came out well. But the band stuff, man, the drum. I love the way the room sounded.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I think the big winner is going to be the great John West.
Yeah, you think so?
I think that's going to be the one that lives on.
Epic quality to it, long story song.
You know,
song.
Road Goes On Forever type.
Yeah.
You know, just...
Of course, it's sort of a dour...
It is.
You think it's too sad or something performances?
It picks up at the end of each verse with the big guitar playing and kind of the mini solo between each one, and then you can dance to it. You can feel bad for the guy, but you can also appreciate the struggle.
That, you know, the recording of the great John West is not... I'm a little indifferent to it, a little bit. I mean, we played it great. There it is. It's the kind of thing where I saw early on, I was like, dude, I could sit here. There's all those instrumental breaks.
Right, and do something different every...
I was like, you know, do we just start bringing in harmonica? Do we do this and that and make it all... Da, 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 da. And I just kind of went, man, let's just leave it. Like, if I start into that, then...
Right.
Then
it'll never end.
It'll never end. There's so much space.
I think it would be a good festival pleaser. Get some other bands to come up and do
some
stuff.
It would be cool. Yeah, it would be cool.
Bacon Fat, of course.
Yeah.
The next, the big Mayfest coming up, or the Flatland Jam.
Yeah.
Ragweed,
totally
whoever.
Into that. Totally into that.
Comes out and sings a verse and just
the other
plays.
Concern I had was just if I could remember all the lyrics. I mean, it's like 10 verses or something. But the last several shows I've worked on, I did a lot of acoustic shows early in the year and just made myself play it every night, even if I got lost and tried to say, man, I gotta get to where I can do the whole thing. Because it is hard to remember all those words on a long song like that. And I haven't written a song like that in a long time. You know, High Tide and Bullfighter, they're kind of more obscure.
Shorter,
a little more. I was really into a little more of not spelling everything out lyrically,
right.
You know.
Right.
But on that one, I really wanted to just sort of tell it straight.
Right.
And, you know.
Don't sugarcoat it.
No sugarcoating, you know. It's a story and.
A story that needed to be told.
It needed to be told. It has been told. It continues to be told by me and so many other bands out there. All these guys
right.
that come recording here. So there's something to pull out of that tune. Well, that's been a closer look with Blue Man. Blue JW, bass player for the full band. Effingham, Illinois, man about town in Dallas, Texas these days. Man, a real legend out there in Phil World, there's no question about it. Well, thanks for listening to the podcast. Thank you, Blue, for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Making it 2 weeks in
can't
a row
wait
here.
To, can't wait to be back.
I know it, man, I know it.
Stu and Blue together, maybe.
Oh, man, yeah, we need to. We need to get both of you guys in here. Stu can comment on all of our stories. Talk about some of his other firsts in the band.
True.
Well, as always, call me, 817-733-5256, or email me, phil@philpritchard.com. Please, please, let us know you're out there. We, you know, some guys come to me in the grocery store. I love your podcast. I'm kind of like, man, that's great. I love it. But, you know, it'd be helpful if he emailed me maybe, or thought about it. You know, took the just email me and say, hey, this is cool. Here's something I'd like to hear, you know. We always love to get little requests and some feedback.
Questions for the band?
Absolutely. Questions for the band.
How long is Stu's beard?
Some of y'all out there. How long? That's right. We can have a contest or something. Oh, it's all coming, folks. This year we're going to be doing podcasts. Of course, we had celebrity podcasts like Blue, like Owen Temple, Pat Green, Jordan Powell, and so many others. Buddy Huffman, Kurt South. Thanks for joining us here on this edition of the podcast. Call us, email us, we'll play your party, or, come record here at Trinidad World Recording. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We really do appreciate it. So, for Blue here, and for myself, P2, Phil Pritchett, we're signing off on this week's edition of the podcast. We'll see you soon. Be good to each other out there.
Better mind all your manners. She'd better get a birthday card from you. If you send out an invitation, get it there on time no matter what you do. Take the time to write the words you know are right. All the things you say can help to make her day, her week, her year, her life. No one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you for just being you. No one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you no matter what. Remember the bedtime stories? She banished all the monsters from your room. When the thunder came crashing, she let you know the storm was ending soon. She holds in her mind the things you've left behind. All you suffer for, she's sure to suffer more. She lives and dies with you, you'll find. No one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you for
no one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you no matter what you do, suffer more. She lives and dies with you, you'll find. 'Cause no one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you for just being you. No one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you no matter what you do. No one loves you like your mother does. No one will love you for just